You are listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond, where hosts from the LCC Library sit down with writers, publishers, entrepreneurs, and literary enthusiasts of all types. Join your host, Amy Ewald, Robin Moore, John Saligi, and Abby Thibault as we explore the very heart of the written word.
Welcome to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. I'm Abby Thibault, and beside me is my co-host, John Saligi. Today, we are joined by Mindy Babarski and Adam Oyster from the Library of Michigan. Mindy is a reference librarian and coordinates the Michigan Notable Books Program, and Adam is a community engagement librarian. Thanks for joining us, Mindy and Adam.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, can we start out with a short overview of what the Michigan Notable Books Program is?
Sure. So, I can speak to that. So the Michigan Notable Books Program, it's been going on since 1991,
yes.
I believe is the roots of it. But it was called something else then, but it is called Michigan Notable Books. That started in 2004, and then it really went under the Library of Michigan. So we've been doing this a long time. It's a way for us to honor 20 Michigan books, so books about Michigan or written by Michigan authors that were published in the previous year. And the reason we say notable is it's not really a way to say like, oh, these are the best books, but they're the books that they're of real import in, you know, topics of Michigan history that people don't know much about, or the literary quality, or just, you know, there's kind of, it gives you a spectrum of things to really show like, this is notable, this is unique. We're probably not going to see a book like this in the future, or this is just something that we think Michiganders are going to really love. So that's really the goal of the program, is to get people interested in reading Michigan stories. So, and through that, there's a couple pieces to the program. We don't just have the committee select the books and say, hey, read these. We have an author tour that takes place every spring. And that they visit 50 libraries throughout the state, the authors who participate. And we really try to get them into every corner of the state. And Michigan Humanities gives us a generous grant in order to pay the speaker fees for these authors so that libraries don't have to. And then we also have our Night for Notables celebration. That happens in every April. So this year it's April 20th. And it's in the evening at the Library of Michigan in downtown Lansing. Anybody can attend. It is a ticketed event since it's run by our Library of Michigan Foundation, which is the nonprofit that supports the Library of Michigan's mission. And so if you want to check that out and learn a little more and maybe get to meet some of these authors, you can go to libraryofmichiganfoundation.org. And there's more details on their webpage.
Great. Yeah. That all sounds amazing. So how long have you guys been involved in the program?
Well, I've been with the Library of Michigan since February of 2019. And so that would have been right as the stages for that year's tour were being planned. So I came in and basically my boss at the time said, guess what? You're going to be doing a lot with notable books this year. Oh, okay. and so certainly my part of all this is a lot of the logistics that go on behind the scenes, getting the marketing all put together, getting our website set up so that it has all of the components that are necessary so that libraries can have things that they can download and print and use. If anything, Mindy and I are very much in a tag team effort where we each have our roles, but we have to constantly keep each other up to date with like who's doing what, because she's the one who's working more with authors, and you can speak more to the other aspects of what you do.
Yeah. But it is definitely like without having the community engagement library involved, I mean, nobody would know about this program. Frankly, he does all the web stuff. He gets in touch with the graphic designers to get the promotional information made. And, you know, I'll do behind the scenes, facilitate the committee, help facilitate the tour, you know, kind of that program piece. But the getting the word out, it's like, you know, we got to have that tag team for sure.
So thinking about, you said that there's 20 books a year,
yes.
Correct? So how are the books selected?
Yes. So that is a fun process. Every year I will reach out to, I send like a mass email to every publisher I can think of. So, you know, I've got a list of it's in the hundreds of saying, please send me every book you have by a Michigan author or about Michigan that's going to be published this year, because that's when I'm starting to get it. You know, they come in. If I hear about titles, I'll then reach out to the publisher personally and say, hey, can you send us this title? Then once we get those copies in, you know, I share that with our committee. We have a committee of, it's anywhere from 12 to 15 librarians, state employees, readers, bookshop owners. You know, it's really run the gamut. But it's people who can read a lot and who care about literature and books. So we meet monthly and, you know, I get them the copies. If they can't come in person, because we do a hybrid event, they'll have to get them themselves. You know, we discuss the merits of the books we're reading. We recommend, hey, people should get their hands on this one. You know, we have a really good discussion and slowly work our way through that list and choose or select 20 titles by the first week of December. And, you know, once that's all approved and ready to go, I contact the authors and say, hey, you've been selected. This is what that means. And then we announce it, usually in the Detroit Free Press, early January.
So you said you reach out to publishers and like everyone kind of you can think of.
Yeah.
How many responses do you typically get and how many books do you have to read?
Yeah, it can be a range. So it's usually around 200 to 400 books. That's like the range that I've seen.
Wow.
Last year was, 325, I want to say. So I always feel bad, you know, sometimes we'll hear from authors and they'll say, why wasn't my book selected? You know, was there a problem with it? And I was like, you're going up against over 300 books. You know, this is in no way a thing against the quality of your book. It is tough competition, let me tell you.
So you said that you meet monthly. I would imagine getting a bunch of people together in a room who like books and like to read leads to some very interesting discussions and that kind of thing. Do you have any stories from being, you know, like being in the room as this is happening?
Does it get heated?
Know, I guess in the past there was times, like I've heard stories about some of the previous ones that like people would get really heated. But frankly, you know, the people that we've got on the committee, they love reading and they care so deeply about these stories that they may get heated and they're like, well, why don't you like this the way that I do? But there's an understanding. There's a deep respect for everybody there. So you'll get people who are passionate about supporting their book, but it's never been contentious because people understand the greater goal. You know, we're here to make sure that these Michigan stories and these Michigan voices are being heard and made known to the whole state.
Well, and plus, I'm not on the committee itself, but I'm certainly in the building often when these meetings are going on, and you can see that there is a very deliberate process by people that are involved with this, that they, even when meetings are not going on, that people are coming in to get copies of the books on a regular basis. I would just say the one thing for those that are looking to put something in the future, the earlier that you can get it to us at the Library of Michigan, the better. Because if you're going to be getting it to us in September, October, November, you know, many of the titles might have started to been weeded down to that point. Like, yeah, there's a chance, but, you know, to make it so that so many other eyes can see the book of all the committee members, it's better earlier is better, especially if you can get either an ARC copy or something that can get in the hands of us.
And that's always the hardest part, is there's a lot of books that get published in December and we try to get, you know, can you send us an advanced reader copy? Can you send us a PDF? Just let us get our eyes on it. And we always miss some. So every year I'm always like, oh, this is from December and it's not, you know, it's not qualified for this year. So I always try to get authors, you know, let them know the earlier the better, even if it's an advanced reader copy, even if it's a PDF. That helps.
And we're lucky that some of the more higher level publishers are aware of what's going on. I mean, certainly the university presses in the state are like, hey, you know, this is something that we should be passing on to the Library of Michigan. There secretly is a little bit of a competition between some of them see who gets the most titles on the list. I won't say which publishers, but I can tell you there's a few that there is a bit of internal competition to see who gets more titles on during each list.
Well, I think that's just a kind of a testament to the prestige of the program as well. Thanks. You mentioned also that you typically announce it in the Free Press. Mm-hmm. And so in this year's Free Press article, they called the book selections a literary feast.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about this year's selections.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably one of the most diverse lists, especially when you're thinking about genre and like connecting to different readers. So, I mean, for a good example, we've got a book about the geology of Michigan and kind of almost a field guide, you know, saying, hey, go to these different places and here's the geology and check that out, to a book that I compare to, if any of you have read The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks,
yes,
you know, an extremely important book, talks about very difficult history, you know, and abuses of both the medical world and just society in general. I would say I would put The Girls and Their Monsters on par with that. It's a difficult read, but it's an important read. So you have that sort of nonfiction, but difficult nonfiction. You've got some fun fiction that, you know, young adult, sort of coming of age, a couple selections on there, All American, Everything is Just Beginning. They're great examples of that. You've got Strikers, a youth graphic novel. I'll give a shout out. That was one of my personal favorites. Mm-hmm. I love a good graphic novel, and I'm not even a hockey fan, and I got into it. You know, there's all sorts of short story. There's a couple of short story collections, both Dearborn Stories and Enough to Lose. But even though they're short stories that talk about certain communities within Michigan, they're vastly different in tone sometimes. So Dearborn Stories, although you're dealing with some difficult topics. I mean, I was laughing out loud in some of those short stories. Enough to Lose, like, was so powerful and hit me. And there was moments where you would chuckle because of the characters, but it is like it's something that really just affects you deeply. So I really say, like, just the diversity of interest for people. I mean, Making Art in Prison, another great example. I mean, there will never be a book like it again. I don't know if any of you have had a chance to see it.
I have not seen that one yet.
Oh, it's amazing. It's artwork from prisoners all over the state of Michigan. And just, you know, getting to tell their stories, highlight their art. And this was, it's the life's work of Janie Paul and her husband, who unfortunately passed. But just an incredibly powerful book and beautiful. But yeah, I would say that's probably a literary feast. That's what I think of is, you know, no matter what you like to read, there's something on this list for you.
Well, and something that even in comparison to, like, say, last year's, we were saying it was the list of memoirs.
Yeah, because so many
memoirs.
Because
there were so many people, you know, certainly during, you know, COVID lockdowns, that they were doing a lot of introspective writing and more getting into, you know, either about themselves or about particular people within their lives. Whereas now we're at a bit of a point where people can get to do more outside research and go to places and talk about so many other different topics that we have within, you know, the tapestry of what we have of Michigan for topics that you can either look at for inspiration as something for creative writing or just topics themselves of like, oh, I really did not know the history of the cinema of Ann Arbor, that there is so much that is within this culture of one of our cities within Michigan, that maybe somebody like me, who's from the west side of the state and has only been to Ann Arbor a few times, are like, oh, hey, there's much going on here that I should be paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And having a book like this is that doorway through cinema Ann Arbor for me to, you know, take a step and learn more about the other places within Michigan that maybe I haven't learned about or been to as much.
Yeah,
that's so amazing.
Mindy, Adam just told us a little bit about learning about Michigan through these books. I know that has been my experience as well. Have you learned anything about Michigan through reading these books?
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes it's more of like, I'm thinking when you were talking about last year, those are the ones that are fresh in my mind right now when you mentioned that, but learning about Michigan people. Dillatime was probably my favorite book from last year, and learning about Jay Dilla and just how important he is to music, not just American music, not just Michigan music, but music as we know it today. I was like, whoa, I didn't know any of this, you know, and the way that he tied it in with the musicology and the history of Detroit and why it could only have taken place in Detroit. That one was like, that was mind blowing to me. For this year's list, gosh, I'm trying to think. Dearborn Stories, I think, is probably the one that I grew up near Dearborn, Metro Detroit. So I knew a little bit about Dearborn, but to really kind of, even though it's fiction, I was able to get an idea of like what it would be like to live in Dearborn, you know, in some of these Lebanese communities, because he focuses a lot on the Lebanese communities, and just really kind of being dropped in there and feeling like you're a part of these places that, you know, you wouldn't have grown up in, or you maybe don't have a lot of connections to. So yeah, there's every time though, every year there's at least one book that I'm like, that just totally changed my perspective of the state. And I thought I knew everything, right?
Yeah.
Or on the flip side is that it's reminding you of maybe something that you have forgotten. Mm-hmm. So like our boss was talking with us before about the, looking at the list here to remember which one it was.
Do you remember what it was about? Oh, are you talking about?
Oh, everything I learned in a Chinese restaurant, Curtis Chin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that restaurant was known by so many people within the Detroit community that our manager is from that side of the state. And he's like, oh, yeah, I used to frequent that area quite a bit. And so for those of us who are reading books that maybe we knew the topic, but it's giving us either, you know, refreshing our memories and giving us a deeper appreciation mm-hmm. for them, or oh, I didn't know about that particular aspect of what was being written about within the book. And I don't know, I remember one of the ones from several years ago, Freshwater Boys, which was from I think around 2011 or 2012, and where they were talking about a particular area of Grand Rapids where the book had a short story set. And I was like, I know that street. I know that. I know where that golf course is. And I know where those deer were crossing that's being talked about in the book. And so it gives just an extension of like, oh, yeah, I can visualize it in my mind and have a greater appreciation for it being now part of the written word mm-hmm. of our greater experience of being Michiganders.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah, we actually just added Dearborn Stories to our collection. So
nice. I'm
kind of excited to showcase that soon.
All I got to say is Speedo Man is my favorite short story.
Ooh.
So get ready when you read that one.
Switch gears a little bit. Can you tell us about the Night of Notables event that's coming up?
Yes. So that's our celebration, our time to really honor these authors. Unfortunately, not all of them are going to be able to make it. That's usually the case. You know, some authors, they don't live in Michigan anymore, and it's hard to get in. But we're going to have a solid chunk, I think about a dozen of the 20 authors will be there that night. It's going to be on April 20th. Starts at, oh gosh, now I got to think about time. It starts that evening.
Yeah.
Go ahead, check out our website to learn a little more.
Yeah.
But that we're going to have a keynote speaker. So Stephen Mack Jones, former Michigan Notable Book Award winner, two-time Michigan Notable Book Award winner. He's amazing. Awesome to listen to. He's actually from Lansing originally. Now is in Metro Detroit, but he's great. So I really do recommend if you can make it, he is someone you're going to want to listen to. And if you haven't read his books yet either, he has the August Snow series. The fourth book just came out this year. The first one, August Snow, and the third one, Dead of Winter, both won Michigan Notable Books Awards. So he's going to be speaking. Then we'll have a chance to, you know, there's kind of a meet and greet with the authors. They'll be at tables. You can come up to talk with them. You can get your book signed. The books will be for sale at the museum store. There's also refreshments. So you're going to have some light refreshments. And there is an open bar. So it's for people over 21. But yes, please do come check it out at our website at michigan.gov/notablebooks. There's a link to learn more about the Night for Notables. Also, if you go to the Library of Michigan Foundation.org, they have, of course, more information since it's their event. They you know, fund it and they do all the fun do all that fun stuff. So, yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Well, it's just neat that we can bring together all these authors in one night, and not like you can't go and meet them throughout the author tour or in other different experiences when they're out. But it's neat also listening to the conversations that they have with each other too, because they're going to be in the atrium of the Library of Michigan, and many of them are next to each other, and maybe they've read each other's books but never had a chance to actually talk themselves. And getting to be there with that sort of interaction is like, oh, I'm, you know, getting to, you know, talk with John Smolens at one point, and then go on and talk with Kai Thomas or Abra Barons or any of these other ones. And that feast, literary feast, well, you're it's getting literal. Most of the food right there in front of you.
Literary buffet.
Yes, it is very much a literary buffet.
Well, I was thinking specifically last year, one of my favorite stories, Kelsey Ronan, who did, Chevy in the Hole from the last book. Year.
Yep.
It takes place in Flint. Her mom asked her to get Brian Solomon's autograph. He's the guy who wrote the book Blood and Fire about the Sheik, wrestling Sheik, if you know about. And another amazing book that I didn't know anything about the Sheik either. And I read that and I was like, man, I wish I were into wrestling now. So she was such a fan of that book, her mom, that she made sure that Kelsey would get Brian's autograph. So I even stuff like that. It's so cute.
I am a wrestling fan.
Yes.
And so I bought Blood and Fire. And that's what it was last year, and got to talk with Brian. And he is a really interesting guy. Mm-hmm. He worked and wrote for WWE. Mm-hmm. And like, so he was super fun. Everything that you guys were saying, like, reminds me of the times that I've been there too. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking really forward to Stephen Mac Jones. I'm actually, in preparation for his keynote, reading Life's Laid Away right now. I've read August Snow, and so I'm going through the series. And so could you tell people a little bit about the August Snow series? You mentioned that's what you did, but kind of like, you know, what it's about, that kind of thing.
Well, they take place in Detroit. August Snow is his main character, and he is a former police officer turned private investigator. It also highlights the Mexican town area of
Detroit.
So because he is half African American, half
Jamaican, and
combination
Mexican.
of backgrounds. And I've read the first one so far, and it's neat having a thriller that takes place in our state and knowing the locations. Certainly for me, like I said, as being a West Sider, it's like, oh, I should learn more about these areas that the book is taking place in. And, you know, when you start thinking of other thriller kind of authors, your James Patterson's or Stephen Connelly's and all that, it's like, oh, no, there are authors, you know, who write just as good a caliber books with just as interesting of characters here in Michigan. And August Snow is like, if they ever get around to making a TV show for him,
I would watch it.
I guess I would watch it too. I heard there was at one point something in production, but I don't think it has ever made it very far. I will say what was cool with last year's keynote speaker, Karen Dion, you know, her book was for sure being made into a movie. And that was...
It did come out.
Yes. Yeah. What's the title?
Marsh King's Daughter.
Marsh King's Daughter.
Yeah.
And what was really neat is that she would talk about what the preparations were for it. But then when the movie actually did come out, I got to go see it in theaters. I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
That sounds so fun. We do have to wrap things up. There's so much more we wanted to find out. But can you give us a quick reminder of where we can go look for more information?
For more information about the upcoming tour that's going to be in April through June. Yes, April, as well as Night for Notables and anything else about the Michigan Notable Books program, go to michigan.gov/notablebooks.
Yeah. And that's where you can find some promotional materials. If you want to print off some bookmarks for yourself, they're there.
We'll soon have the tour locations listed so that you can visit these authors across the state and come visit us during Night for Notables. It'll be great to see everybody in person.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for being here.
You have been listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. Visit lcc.edu/library to find the titles discussed in this episode. You can find previous episodes of Written in the Stars and other LCC Connect shows at lccconnect.com. In the words of Miguel de Unamuno, I hope, reader, we shall meet again and we shall recognize each other.